Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Galatians, the fifth chapter. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the divine service, when the epistle is read, it's customary to address the congregation. In the epistles of St. Paul, the reader is to add, if necessary, the word brothers, referring to the gathered congregation. If our reading had started just a little bit earlier or even later, we would not have even had to add the word brothers, because Paul is constantly using it of the Christians that he's writing to. In the epistles of St. John and of St. Peter, beloved is the traditional form of address. Makes sense for John in particular, always talking about love. This is where our beloved brother, William Whedon, also gets his signature catchphrase, people loved by God. In sermons, besides dearly beloved, it's most common to say things like, dear saints. But we do not say, dear sinners. Now, Dr. Luther's highly rhetorical way of speaking, very often in the first person, is not afraid to address himself as a sinner. He would call people rapscallions and knaves from the pulpit, I suppose like Paul saying, oh, you foolish Galatians. But it is decidedly not our custom to address the gathered congregation as sinners as such. You are my brothers, because you are Christ's brothers by blood. That makes you my brother then. No matter how angry or rhetorical Paul is in this famously direct letter, he begins still with words of grace and peace to the churches and to the brothers, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. So then it's our custom to sing, I, a sinner, come to you. To sing, there's nothing that ever this ransom sinner could sever from God. And certainly to say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess. But it's not our custom to make sinner the mindset and the status of your identification. Certainly not that the minister would repeatedly call you that. And that's because you are those for whom the Son gave himself. You are the people loved by God. You are those who live by the Spirit, who belong to Christ Jesus. Something certainly could be said and may be said about your sins and about your flesh. But these are not to become your mindset or your status or your identification, dear saints. The Son did not give himself to let you remain in your sins, but to deliver you from them. They are not loved by God. They do not constitute your life, nor, and this is the important one for Paul, nor do you belong to them. Now, this is all important to mention because of what Paul describes today in Galatians 5, how the desires of the flesh remain, how the desires of the Spirit are opposed to them to keep us from doing those things that we in our flesh would want to be doing. Often this is taught with the saying that we are simultaneously a saint and a sinner, which is a way of capturing what Paul teaches. But it's only the sort of capture that an old shutter camera could make, a single, frozen still frame. And what Paul describes today in Galatians is actually quite active and moving. It's also the way that Luther taught it and described it as well. The Christian walk is not a contentment. It's not a resignation to such a split personality as one who is fleshly, but that's no big deal because also spiritual. By no means. The spirit and the flesh are at war within us, Paul says. And unless you've believed in vain, unless your holy Christ, in whom you rightly bear the name saint, has not risen from the dead, well, then the outcome of this war within you as a total victory over sin and death can never be uncertain for you unless the Lord is not on his throne to this day. Now, by what means will the war be waged? Well, it will not be waged by the law, Paul says, at least not by the law alone. And to this, the whole rest of the letter to the Galatians is dedicated. The lengthy, varied, convicting list of ugly sins that Paul says today, mixed, did you notice, along with very common attitudes? It is intended to convict us of our sins. God's law is against all of those things, all of the actions, all of the attitudes that Paul lists. And it is useful, that law of God, to call them out, to convict us, to call us to repentance and to change. It's able to show what God's will is, which is particularly necessary when the will of the flesh is getting in our way again. But the law of God is not capable of conquering that flesh or subduing it in any truthful and lasting way. It is not able to make the sinful flesh holy so that it begins to beget and bear holiness from itself. Only the Spirit produces such holy attitudes and actions in us, dear friends. And that's why he is called the Holy, the Sanctifying Spirit. You are rightly addressed as saints, dear beloved brothers and people loved by God. You are those who have received the Holy Spirit in baptism, the one who gathers you as a holy Christian church, which is the communion not of sinners, but of saints. And of course, he makes you saints by the forgiveness of your sins. I never dare brazenly address you as sinners, not because I believe that you have made yourself sinless or that I have. No, I refrain from this because I believe what our Lord has done for each of you. I believe that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. And I believe that his Spirit is not then dead or still within you. If you've become obsessed with addressing yourself, or maybe with addressing others by the name of sinner, consider whether you have actually come under the law. Identify with your identify your sins according to the law. That much is wise. But do not come to identify with your sins, or to come to that uneasy, static coexistence with the flesh. Because in truth, sinners do not gladly confess their sins. Sinners do not crucify their flesh. Sinners do not inherit the kingdom of God. Only saints do such things. Only saints plead the Lord's mercy and ask for forgiveness. Only saints deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow after Jesus. Only saints walking by the Holy Spirit bear the fruits of faith. And such our Lord has made you. In fact, he's even done it by my and Pastor Whedon's saying so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.